Okay. So Membeis on the Beis, the Mishnah. We did the Mishnah last week, but we have to go back to the Mishnah just to put in, because we just did a few lines. So the Mishnah, Einos and Klik Tachasaner, Lekavulas HaShemen. So you can't put a Kli under a candle, meaning under the cup that's holding the oil, so that to catch the oil that might be dripping. That oil is Mutzah. Even a Sinumim about Yom Mutter. If you left it there from before, so then it's Mutter. Meaning because, just the simple explanation is, if you put it underneath, you're going to end up making it Mutzah by the oil dripping on it. And then the question is, what's wrong with that? We'll come to that. But if you put it on from before Shabbos, so then, okay, so you're allowed to make things Mutzah before Shabbos. There's no problem. How do Rav Nachman, Stricha, Milcha, Bishula, I'm sorry, the Eid and the Yosem Imenu, Lefish, the Nosem, in the Snumi, Yom Utav, and the Yosem Imenu, Lefish, and Menamuchan, right? And you can't use it because it's not prepared from before. It's for Shabbos. So Gemara of Chista. So Rav Chista gets this other case, and the Gemara primarily deals with this case, not with the Mishnah at the beginning for the next page and a half or so. Gemara of Chista, we're on Membeis and Mebeis. We just started the Gemara right after the Mishnah. 42b, the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Gemara of Chista, so we went back to last week. Even though we said Rav Chista makes the following halacha, and then the next whole page and a half is going to discuss Rav Chista. But this is Rav Chista's comment. He says, even though you're not allowed to put a kli under the chicken, the kal beit sasa, meaning you can't on Shabbos you can't take a plate, say, and put it underneath the chicken, or a bowl to put on chicken in order to catch the egg, on Shabbos, because then when the egg is laid, the egg is nolad and the egg is muktzah, and therefore the bowl is going to be muktzah. Aval kofala kli shelo tishaver. You're allowed to put a cover on it so it doesn't break. All right. Despite the fact that in this particular case, Rashi says lo temo en kli nital. So doranital, don't ask about that right now. Okay. Meaning there's an issue about not taking a utensil to use for something which is not movable, all right? Which can't be moved. So he says, just put that question aside for now. Okay, so now Rabbah gives a reason for Rav Chista, and then another reason given for Rav Yosi gives Rav Chista, and these questions are going to be asked. So this is a question. Rabbi is going to ask questions on both ends. First, Rabbah. I'm a Rabbah. My time with Rav Chista. Why does Rav Chista say that you cannot put the utensil under the chicken? Because it's like this. Kasavar tanigolas asui lahatul beit sasa ashpa, then asui lahatul beit sasa mako madron. So since a chicken normally lays an egg on a flat surface, and the chicken does not normally lay its egg on an incline. So therefore, Hatzala Mitsuya Hitiru, something that would be common, they allowed. Hatzala Sheinu Mitsuya Lo Hitiru. Okay, so Hatzala Mitsuya would be a normal occurrence that might happen. All right. So for that, the Chazal made an allowance that you could move something, even though you might make a mukzah, because we want to make sure to prevent normal occurrences from happening. Hasol shen mitzuya lo hitiru, but something which was not a normal occurrence, they did not give dispensation for. So Rashi says, almost right across, about seven lines to the bottom of the Rashi's, ba'ashpa yesh lo kosh shem tishav ragli adam kofel of kli, right? So you're concerned it might be stepped on by a person, and therefore you put the something on top of it. So he says, "Hatzal mitzuya hitiru, the taltel kli letzorcha." They allowed you to take a kli for use of something which would normally save something, which would save something that's a normal occurrence that might end up being, you know, destructive, and they allowed you to save something from being destroyed. So that's the case of the bowl under the regular egg on a flat surface. Even though the egg itself cannot be moved on Shabbos, but we allow them, even though you're going to ruin the kli. However, Shein Mitzuya Rashi Kedom Madron V'Tiftuv the Shemen the Maslisin, but things which are not common, such as a chicken leg on an incline, that they wouldn't give you dispensation to put the kli there for. And the same rule is true about the oil dripping, which is apparently not a common occurrence. So therefore, they did not. The mission doesn't allow that. Okay. So now, the principle is that, again, if you have a hatzala mitzuya, if you have something which is a normal occurrence, that you're going to move something and make a mukta, they allow you to do that if it's a normal occurrence that you're going to be saving something, right? In this situation. So Abai has a slew of questions on this from other sources about hatzala she'enu mitzuya, hatzala which is not common, where he thinks they did permit them to move something, even though it might become mukta. 5 months of Anarashi, of Gemara. Yesvei, Abai. So Abai asks the following. Number one, Vatzola Shen Mitsuya Lohi Tiru. Is it really true they did not allow you to move an object which might become mukta for Hatzola that's not common? Right? But Tanya brings the following case. And the assumption is this case is not common and they allowed. Here's a brisa. Nishbara lo chavis shel tevel barosh gago. Okay, so somebody has a barrel of tevel, truma has not been taken from it, on his roof, and it breaks. So now there's either wine or oil, the assumption is liquid wine or oil, and the wine or oil has not been taken truma from it, so therefore it's tevel. Tevel is, of course, therefore mutsa, because you can't eat it. And the barrel broke. So now the oil or wine is going to run out and you're going to lose it. Mevi kli, umeniach tachtaha. You're allowed to take a utensil and put it under it to catch the wine or oil that's dripping. So Abai is saying, well, that's not common. How often does a barrel of wine break or a barrel of oil break? That's not common. They allowed you to move the utensil under it, even though utensil will become mukta by holding the tevel. Right? So my answer is, begulfe chadate. Gulfe is, Rashi says, chavios. It's barrels. Chadate is new. Dishchiche depaki, they normally do crack. Right? New barrels normally crack. After barrels are tested, you know they're old, so then you know they don't crack. But apparently new barrels is a high percentage that do crack, and since they're for the wines in a new barrel, that is considered to be a common hatsala. So you'd be allowed to put a utensil under a new barrel that broke, not under an old barrel that broke. Because a new barrel that broke is a common occurrence, the new barrels to crack. And for old barrels to crack, old barrels to crack is not common. They would not allow that. Okay, so therefore, Abai's question is answered.
Are they talking about putting the utensil under the barrel before it breaks?
No, after it breaks. After it breaks. On Shabbos. It breaks on Shabbos. And now you want to catch the... You want to catch, right? So we have later on, way later on, we had this, because we learned this out of order, Chavish and Ishbara, not Tevel, right? So you're allowed to collect Muslim, you're allowed to collect enough for three meals. You could also assign other people to collect for three meals. There the concern was that, people let go on Rosh Hashanah to get, if you let them get all themselves, Rosh Hashanah and try to get new, buckets to catch everything. But the assumption is, so this is my picture. Don't picture the barrel like falls apart. The barrel cracks, so it cracks, and now it's dripping out. Obviously, if you don't do anything, it's all going to leak out. And if you put jugs underneath it, one at a time, you'll be able to collect it. But if there's tevel is mutza, and now you're ruining the kli. Right? You're catching mutza, which you're not allowed to do.
This is an event that happens, and then you react to the event.
You react to the event, correct.
So what's the difference whether it's an old barrel or a new barrel? I mean, you're reacting to the event, not to how old the barrel is.
That's exactly right. But the presumption of Chista, Chista's comment was, Hatzola Mitsuya Hitiru, Hatzola Shena Mitsuya, this is the exception of Rabbah. He says, why does Rav Chista say that you're allowed to put a kli under a chicken that lays an egg, on a flat surface, but not on an inclined surface? Because he says something which just commonly happens, they allowed you to take something even though you're going to turn it into mukta. You're going to catch mukta with it.
But now, right? This is why I can't compare him, because you're putting the plate under the chicken before the chicken lays the egg.
Correct.
It's not the same as putting something under a barrel after it starts leaking. It's
okay, the issue here is not what the event is. The issue is, when do I put the kli down? So I put the kli down before the egg. Look, the chicken's going to lay the egg. They lay eggs every day.
So they had a ruling, you can only put a kli under a new barrel, but not under an old barrel?
Yeah,
weird, isn't it?
No, because that's the principle. The principle is Hatzolah Metzuya. That's the principle of Rabbi Klein Zof Chista. He says, Hatzolah Metzuya, they allowed. Something which is common, they allowed. Meaning, let's just take a step back. Principle number one. Mukta is mukta, you can't move it.
Right.
Okay. If I put something under mukta, I'm ruining what I put under mukta. All right?
For Shabbos, yeah.
Right? So I can't do that. Okay? I can't put something under mukta. Okay, so usually it's hard to put under mukta because whatever mukta is sitting there. But here I have a case of mukta where the mukta is not sitting there. The mukta is coming down. The egg is coming down. The oil is coming down. Right? So therefore, when I put something down, the mukta is going to come onto it. It's going to, therefore, make the kli underneath it mukta. I'm not allowed to do that. That's the assumption. I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. I'm making the kli mukta. Either because Rashi said, either because it's like I'm taking a kli for something which is not movable on Shabbos, right? Like the egg is not movable on Shabbos, I'm taking a kli for that. That's one idea of Rashi. These are both Gemara later. And the other is because I'm actually, it's like I'm breaking the kli. Because once the mukta falls on it, now I can't move it anymore. So it's like I'm attaching the kli to the ground.
Right.
But the principle of Rabba is, when is it the Rav Chista allows it? Rav Chista allows it when it is a common occurrence, because he says Chazal permitted me to prevent a common loss. They didn't say, okay, in a case of uncommon loss, we're going to suspend the rules. The rules suspended for common situations, not for uncommon situations. Okay, so Abaye brought this number one question about Tevel. Right, the barrel of Tevel. Barrel of Tevel breaks. And the presumption either way is that it's a not common occurrence because barrels don't typically break. So how come the Bryce says you're allowed to catch the things underneath it? After all, the Tevel's mutza. Now you're catching it a kli and making that mutza. So he says no, because so that case Chazal would not allow. The case Chazal would allow is the case which is a common occurrence, namely that new barrels break. Okay. Okay, continues the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Abaye asks another question. Esvei nosnen kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos. The Braisa says, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to take a kli and put it under a candle which is burning to catch the sparks that are going to come down. Okay? Why? Because you don't want the sparks to start a fire. Okay. Is that common? Well, the assumption is not common. So the Gemara says, no, nitzotzos, not mishkich, it is common. Because remember, the assumption is that of Rabbi Tzmen of Chista is that Chachamim allowed you to move something to catch mukza if it's common. Okay, says Rashi, the last two lines, nitzotzos shall heves hanotefes min ha'or. Right, nitzotzos, the sparks of a shalheves, of a flame, which is one of the last two ones, Rashi, no tefes min or, which is coming from the candle. Kadesh lo yidlak, mashdeh, unless it shouldn't cause the burn underneath it. I forgot the nitzotzos lo metaltle. Right, nitzotzos, sparks, you're not allowed to carry sparks. Sparks are, I mean, if you think about it, it's not a spark. What's really happening is, it's a small piece of the wick which is falling down, right? So it's really a piece of charcoal which is burning, right? Okay, so he says that is not a common occurrence, right? Lo shchichei, it's not a common occurrence. So the Gemara says, no, nitzos nami shchichei. That's what Abaye says, no, this is a common occurrence for sparks to come down. Okay. Mem Gimel. Esve Abaye, now that's another question. Esve, remember, Abaye is trying to find a case where it's not common, and yet Chazal permitted us to ruin the kli by putting on the mutzah. Okay, so here's the next case. Kofin Ka'ara Al Haner. You're allowed to put a bowl over on top of a candle. Shelo Yochaz B'Korah. Okay, so now you have, just imagine this, you have on the wall, you have a like a lamp, right, a you know, it's an oil lamp burning. You're allowed to put something above it. Obviously, you're not going to extinguish the flame, because that would be usur, but you're allowed to put something above it, which is going to protect it, the wall, the ceiling above. All right, to protect the ceiling above. So how common is it that the fire is going to, like, ruin the wall above, the ceiling above? Not common. That's the claim of Abaye. Abaye says, you're allowed to put this kli over the fire that's burning to protect the ceiling. Isn't that not common? Why are you allowed to do that? So Gemara says, top of Rash in the Pei Shocheres, Agabi Aner, you're going to put some earthenware thing on top of the burning candle. Second line of Gemara, he answers, Babate Gechine Deshchiach Behudaleka. Gechine is short. Rashi says, Nemuchen is short. So it's a low ceiling. Well, low ceilings are close to the flame, and it's not so uncommon to cause a fire because the flame is too close to the ceiling, and therefore it is a common case. So that's why they allowed you to put the, again, you're taking a kli, and here you're putting it over the flame, so here you're actually not ruining the kli, per se, because there's no mutz on it, but you are using a kli. That was the first thing Rashi, for Dovah Einonitha. Why can you move something? You shouldn't be able to move something for something which itself can't be moved. Okay. Another case, Abaye brings. V'chein kora shenishbara. Similarly, if you have a board, a beam of a house that broke, right? The beam cracks, it breaks, and it's going to fall. Just think of a thatch roof like this, and the beams are there, and the beams are obviously holding up the roof. Maybe it's straight across, even holding up the roof, and it cracks. So now the roof is going to collapse. So what are you going to do? You want to somehow hold the beam in place so that the roof doesn't collapse. Okay? So, says the Memra, Somchen Osa, third line, Basafsal, Bruha Samita. How about that? You could take a Safsal. Safsal is a bench. Bruha Samita is the boards of a bed. Basically, it's a long board. You're going to, like, stick them up, and you're going to hold the beam in place. Okay, so isn't that the same problem? Is that common? That the roof collapses? That the beams break? Doesn't happen that often. So the Gemara again answers, I'm only talking about a case, Bichshure Charete, Deavide de Parke. Again, Bichshure Charete, here you have beams which are relatively new, and therefore they're not, you know, tested, so to speak, and they're not secure. You know, beams are for a long time, they're going to be more secure. Beams are right up there, you don't know whether they're going to hold it or not. Okay, so look in Rashi. V'chenkor shenishbara mishnah hilakama. It's a mishnah coming up soon. Shenishbara b'shabra, it broke on Shabbos. So you can take a rus hamita, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's a Rashi term in French, limunus, but it's basically the boards that hold the bed in place. Or b'safsol, klihu, a bench, umutol tatlo, obviously you're allowed to move the bench. So then, why are you allowed to move these into place? You're taking it, A, for a double shenitol, the korah, the beam is mutzah, right? So why are you allowed to take it, put it in place? So he says, because, Rashi says, b'kshur echadete lo nitol gadayin, the new beams are not yet, you know, tested by time. Uchashemachbid masa habayis aleihem, when the heaviness of the roof, snow on the roof, whatever, it becomes heavy, he says, Hayutochen al gagosehim betit, they would put cement on the roof. Shchiche de parke was common that they would crack. Okay, so until they were secured enough, and then you know they're going to last. Okay, but so therefore, again, you have a case of that they're new, and therefore shchiach that they would break, and therefore that's why we're allowed to take something. Even though it's a davar shenu nital, it overrides the rule. It keeps following the same rule. All right? Abaye has another question. Another case where he's going to say, well, this is not common, and yet we allow you to move from Mutzah. Namely, Nosnin Kli Tachas Adlaf B'Shavah. So Adlaf or Deleth is a leaky water that's leaking. Right? So water that's leaking is not common. Right? It's not common for water to leak in a normal house. Right? But you're allowed to put something under it. Now that leaky water is useless, right? It's dirty, right? So it's useless, so therefore it's mutzah. So again, why should I be allowed to put something underneath it? So the Gemara continues, what's the case? Oh, no, it's a new house, and the new house is leak. Because again, they haven't like finished it off. So it's not so uncommon, the new house leak. They didn't, they don't have roofs with them today. So they have to figure out where the cracks are, and eventually, of course, they fix them, and they cover them, and so on. In the meantime, okay, so therefore, Abaye had five questions on Rabbah, all of which were based on, well, aren't these things uncommon, and yet we're allowed to move it? And each case was resolved by no, and those cases really are considered to be common because of the situation, because they're new or whatever it is, okay, or low roof and so on, okay. So that is all according to Rabbah's explanation of Chista. Remember, Rav Chista is one who said you can not put the kli under the tanagola, right, to catch the egg. Right, but you could put something on top of it, which means the kli is nital. You could take a vessel to use for mutzah. You can't put it underneath, but you could take kli mutzah. You could put something on top of it. Okay, so now Rav Yosef has a different approach to Rav Chista. Rav Yosef Amar Hainu Tama to Rav Chista, a different reason. So remember, Rabbah says Rav Chista's reason was because Hatzolah Mitzuya Hitiru, Hatzolah Mitzuya Lo Hitiru, right? They permitted something which was a common place to saving of something. Rav Yosef has a different reason. What's the reason? He says, Tandra Rav Chista, Mishumavata Kli Mehichado. So Rashi in the Mishnah spoke about that, we mentioned last week, because you're basically breaking the Kli. So according to Rashi's explanation, Mavata Kli Mehichado is you're nullifying use of the Kli. Either it's similar to like cementing the kli to the ground, or later on, maybe it's like breaking the kli, Tosfos says. But in any event, you're making the kli totally unmovable, because once the mukhsa comes on it, now you can't move it. So Rav Yosef says that's the reason Rav Chista says that you cannot put the egg, you cannot put the bowl under, but you could put the bowl on, because putting the bowl under is going to, once the egg is laid on it, now the egg is mukhsa and the plate is mukhsa. If you put a cup over the egg, so you could still, you're not ruining the cup. You could take the cup away if you want also. Okay. Esfabai, Sabai asked now on Rav Yosef. Number one, Chavis, Shel Tevel, Shenishbara. Similar case. You have a Chavis of Tevel which broke. Mevikli Acher, Meyech Tachtah. You could take another utensil and put it underneath it. Right? So why should I do that? Aren't you ruining the Kli by putting it underneath? Now the oil is going to drip on, the tevel is going to drip on it, and now you're going to have a cup of tevel, and that's mutzah. Amalei, no, tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos, even though tevel you're not allowed to eat, but tevel is not considered to be mutzah when it comes to Shabbos. Why? Shem avra v'tikno mutukan. So the Rabbanan said you can't be mafrish truma on Shabbos, but that's the Rabbanan. According to the Torah, you could be mafris truma on Shabbos from the tevel. So therefore, the tevel actually is usable from before Shabbos, not in its present form, but you could make it usable. So therefore, the tevel itself is not mukzah, since it is fixable on Shabbos. You can do right. So therefore, it's not considered to be levata klimei chano, because tevel itself is not mukzah. That's what he's saying. That's his answer. Number one. Okay. So that's number one question of Abaye, resolved because we say, well, the tevel is not mukzah, therefore you're not making the kli underneath it, you're not mevat kli mechano, you're not ruining the kli. Okay, and case number two.
So in this case, going back to the barrel, you could put the kli under any barrel using this logic.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, sure, you can put it under any barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting it under any barrel is no problem. I mean, putting it under a barrel of regular wine is nothing.
No, but I'm just saying, because we had this whole thing between Rav Chista and Rabbah, right?
No, so but Rabbah's, you see, Rabbah had a different interpretation. Rabbah's interpretation of Chista was based on Hatzol Metsuya Hitiru, right? He has a whole different concept. He has a concept of Vav Kli Mechano. The reason is because you are, if you're not breaking the Kli, you could do it, right? If, as long as you're not making the Kli Muksa, you could do it. Okay. So now the case
so
number two.
Do you assume from this that Rabbah would not have agreed with this? Because Rabbah said, no, it's got to be a new barrel.
I don't follow what you're saying.
Rabbah said you can't do it with an old barrel. You can only do it with a new barrel.
Oh, yes. Okay. So the point's like this. Okay. Rabbah is answering Abaye, or the Gemara is answering Rabbah for Abaye based on Rabbah's assumption, because Rabbah's assumption is, what's the problem with Rav Chista, is that Hatzol Metsuya Hitira, Hatzola and Metsuya Lo Hitira.
Right?
So he has a whole list of answers that work for him, and they may not work here, and vice versa. Right? Even though the same case, but you have different answers work for different people. But it could be, yes, it could be that if the issue was Vav Kli Mechano, so that wouldn't work. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Nosman kli tachas haner, lekabel nitzotzos. All right, so again, these are the same cases. One case is different, but these are the same cases that the Rabbi is bringing as kashis on, now on Rabbi Yosef's explanation of Chista. You're allowed to put a kli underneath the candle to carry, to catch the nitzotzos. So aren't the nitzotzos muksa? Yes, so of course nitzotzos are muksa, right? So the Gemara says, no, I'm Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. Nitzotzos ain't bohem mamash. No, nitzotzos aren't really muksa. Why? Because they fall and they disappear. Right? So there's nothing there. So it falls on the plate and then there's nothing there. So because ain't bohem mamash, it can't make the kli underneath it muksa. It's not about the kli mechana. It's not ruining the kli underneath. Okay, another case. V'chein korsh nishbra, right? Somchen also besas lele ruchas hamita. Right? So he says, yeah, fine, but what about why you allowed to put the same case before again? Why you allowed to put the bench or the bed poles to hold up the beam of the house that's falling down? You shouldn't be allowed to do that either, right? After you're putting the bench into the place, now you can't use the bench. The bench is like shoved in there, holding up the beam. So he answers no. He answers no. He says, "The rafe. He's not like shoving it in strongly. He's putting it in, but in a weak way. The boy shakile nosen. The boy shakile. If he wants to take it out, he could take it out. Meaning, he's not doing it in such a way that he's ruining the bench, because he could just slide the bench back out if he wants to use the bench. So therefore, he's not mevatel the bench. Okay. Next case, nosen kli tamas hadlach b'shabbos. What about?" Again, the same case brought down. You can put a kli underneath to catch the rain the water that's dripping through the roof on Shabbos. Why should I do that? After all, aren't you ruining the kli underneath because the water is dirty and can't be drunk? So the answer is no. Bedel Haroi, you're talking about water that's clean. You have a clean roof and so on. That's the case. Okay, fine. So again, you're not ruining the kli underneath. Okay. Find one more case. Kofnes Hasal Lifnei Afroch. Now it's a different case. Than the last case. Or it's a different case than the last case. Kofen asasal lefnei lefrochim. You can put a sal is basically a basket. So, shayalu v'yardu. You're trying to get the little chicks, you know, the baby chicks to move along. How do you get them to move along? You put something in front of them and they, you know, they jump on, they jump off, and they get over. Okay, fine. But the chick is muksa on Shabbos. So when the chick is on the plate, on the little basket, the basket's also mux on Shabbos. Basically, so aren't you ruining the basket? So why does it say you're allowed to put the basket in front of the afrochim to have them move along? Shalav yerdu. Kasavar mutal taltalo. It sounds like you're allowed to move the basket. How could that be? Vatanya asul tatlo. But the Brisa says, no, in such a case, if you put the basket on and the chicks go on it, you're not allowed to move the basket because the chicks are on it, right? So the Gemara says, no, but Odon Olav. Oh, yeah, that's only if the chicks are still on it. All right? But if the chicks aren't on it, so then the kli's fine. So the Gemara asks for another Brisa, the same Brisa. Vatanya afish ain't Odon Olav, so even if the chicks are not on it anymore, it's still asur. After all, they were on it, so once they're on it, they should make a mutza. Amar Abahu, based a very important principle, mutza, bodon alav, kol ben hashmashos. Oh, when does the basket become mutza? Only if the chicks were on it, the whole ben hashmashos, from before Shabbos, before sunset, till the stars come out. So then, you have a principle, migo des kasoy, ben hashmashos, is kasoy, L'chuli Yoma. Once, if something's muktzah ben hashmashos, it's muktzah for the whole day. So the principle he's telling us, a very important principle, that is if something's muktzah ben hashmashos, that's the end, it's muktzah. Even though what happens afterwards may make it not muktzah. Prime example, you have a tray, and the tray has two tea lights on it burning when Shabbos starts, and then by 9 o'clock at night they're not burning anymore. So what do you have there? Nothing. You just have a tray with two little pieces of tin on it. Why should that be muktzah? Well, the answer is, it should be muktzah, except you have a principle, because it was muktzah ben hashmashos, because the candles were burning on it, so now the tray is muktzah the whole Shabbos, even though the candle's not burning anymore, there's no muktzah on the tray anymore. But the tray became muktzah ben hashmashos, it continues to be muktzah ben hashmashos. So here he's saying, the chicks were not on a ben hashmashos. If the chicks were on ben hashmashos, that's when it says that it will be us. Al pi shedon alav, usher. If the chicks were on at the whole ben hashmashos, and then 9 o'clock at night they moved over, so then the basket would still be muktzah. Right? But if you have a case, which is that's the case talking about, have the case where, no, just on Shabbos, you put a basket there and they went on it, you're allowed to do that because you're just helping them move along. And that basket's not going to become muktzah permanently. It's only going to become muktzah while the chick is on it. And as soon as the chick gets off, it's not. So therefore, you're not ruining the basket. You're not breaking the basket, so to speak. Okay, we'll stop over here.
What about the spark?
What about what?
The spark.